Welcome to Dancin' Moon Songcast. I'm Scott Simpson, casting from Dancin' Moon Studio in Spearfish Canyon on the north end of the Black Hills of South Dakota, right on the banks of the Spearfish Creek. If you'd like to follow along, you can download a free PDF of my lyric book from scottsimpsonmusic.com/lyrics. And of course, you can find links to all my music there as well. So let's get casting and find out what song we're going to talk about this time.
Well, in this installment of Dancin' Moon Songcast, we're going to be talking about a song called My First Song. It comes from 2017's Refuge LP. And my first song is technically not my first song. It's actually a song about my first song. But right there in the middle of it, you actually will hear my first song written in at the tender age of, 6 or 7. First grade. It's about a first grade experience. So we'll listen to my first song from 2017's Refuge and then talk a little bit about it on the other side.
I was only 6 or 7 years old. You must have been a worn out 32. Don't know what stories you've been told. Don't know what you went home to. But you brought a tiredness behind your eyes, and you brought a shuffle in your walk. They only left when your anger flared. Felt like hell made out of ditto ink and chalk. Yeah. Felt like hell made out of ditto ink and chalk. It felt like hell made out of ditto ink and chalk.
You handed
your tired, angry eyes. Well, they looked and read and were more tired. You could have just put it down now. Too bad you couldn't just retire. No, you stole my poetry. You went and stole my literary device. You wrote no, 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 big red letters across the top. You wrote no, 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 on my first song. You wrote no, 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 big red letters across the top. You wrote no, 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 on my first song. So I became a teacher, teacher with a guitar in his hands. I may sound corny, may sound unrigorous. Someone's gotta take a stand for singing. Yes, 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 you got a song to sing. Yes, 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 I won't give up on you. Yes, 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 we're gonna let freedom ring. Yes, 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 you are the best when you are you. Yes, 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 you got a song to sing. Yes, 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 I won't give up on you. Yes, 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 we're gonna let freedom ring. Yes, 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 you are the best when you are you. When you are you. Only 6 or 7 years old. You must have been a worn out 32.
So, you know, there are those artists, I hear them talk all the time. Songwriters, oftentimes actors in movies and TV. When asked, do you watch or do you listen to your own stuff? And they say, oh, no, absolutely not. Can't stand to listen to it. Just, I just do it and then kind of let it be. Well, that's not me. And I'm a little embarrassed to say that. But I've always looked at writing and songwriting as a slightly more formal and a slightly more public version of journaling. And so therefore, part of my reflective process is in going back and reading those old journals. I mean, I've got suitcases full of old journals. I haven't looked at them in a long time. But they're there, and I will be looking back at them. And then I've got lots and lots of songs now recorded, and I go back and listen to them. And each one takes me to a certain place, a certain time, a certain experience. And so this particular song, this is a story, and I'll kind of tell the story of my little first grade self as we move into the song. But this is a story that really had a huge impact on me. I'm an educator. I'm a teacher. I was a high school teacher for a number of years at the beginning of my career. Then I moved into college and university settings and worked with actually worked with teacher training. And now for 12, 13 years, I've been with a group out of Rapid City, South Dakota, TAI, Technology and Innovation in Education. And I work with adult learners, primarily teachers, helping them to think about their craft, think about their art, think about what they're doing in the classroom and how to do that better. And so teaching has been a central piece of my life. This story, though, this experience in first grade, impacted me in huge ways, both as a teacher and as an artist. And that's, I'd written about it several times, poems. But this is the first time that I really, I created a song about it. And so anyway, this is an important song. And what's really nice, as I said earlier, there in the middle is that song that I wrote as a first grader, that little first grade boy, Scott. It's really nice now as a 50-some-odd man to be able to go back and collaborate with that little boy. And that was really important to me on this song, too. So this is a special song to me. I'll say more about that later, but we'll go ahead and talk a little bit about the story behind the song and look at the lyrics and talk about it musically just a little bit. And then I'll let you know what there's some special things going on with this song going forward in my own work. So I was a first grader in a small town and I had a teacher. And, you know, in first grade, you're just brand new to this school thing. You've spent most of your life just with your little nuclear family in your house. And I had a wonderful, wonderful family, very supportive, very encouraging. My first grade teacher, and I don't know what those issues were, but she had some issues. And it was a surprise to me as a first grader. It was a surprise that this adult person who was in a caregiver position had these issues. Well, this story is about one particular experience. So we'll go ahead and enter into the lyrics, and then I'll kind of tell the story as we go. I was only 6 or 7 years old. You must have been a worn-out 32. I don't know what stories you'd been told. I don't know what you went home to. But you brought a tiredness behind your eyes, and you brought a shuffle in your walk. They only left when your anger flared. It felt like hell made out of Ditto ink and chalk. Yeah, it felt like hell made out of Ditto ink and chalk. Felt like hell made out of Ditto ink and chalk. So this teacher of mine, and I honestly, this song is has a good deal of empathy for her. And I admit that, you know, I don't know what she was going through. And as an adult, and particularly as an adult educator now, I recognize how difficult that job is and how difficult it is, especially when stuff is going on at home in your personal life, how difficult it is to bring great empathy and compassion to the classroom for your students, no matter how much you care about them. It's not easy. And if you're not a teacher, you should be aware of that. I genuinely think it's one of the most difficult jobs, one of the most challenging jobs, and one of the most rewarding jobs that exists in the United States today. But as a first grader, I didn't understand any of that, of course. I just knew that it didn't feel good. And, of course, a little reference to Ditto ink. If you're in my generation, I'm sure you recognize that, those purple copies that we always got that smelled so interesting. Ditto ink and chalk. Yeah, now it's photocopies and whiteboards or smart boards. So we'll move on. And here's the situation. Next verse. It was a song, my very first, the kind a first grader would like to write, full of wannabe Maurice Sendak and Dr. Seuss, full of possibility and light. It went like this. Okay, so in this situation, I wrote a song, and I recall being wanting to write music and being enthralled with music from a very early age. Excuse me. And my parents had a little cassette recorder, and I would record things on that, and that's what I wanted to do before I could write at all. So of course, when I was able to write, that's what I wanted to write. And I was aspiring to be a writer like the writers that I was reading, Maurice Sendak, and Where the Wild Things Are, and Dr. Seuss, and all that. So lots of fun and interesting characters and color and funny stuff, and you know. And then we move into the actual song that I wrote, and I do recall it pretty well, 'cause I was proud of it back then. One day I was a-walkin' down the street, a funny old man I did meet. He was walking on his big old feet, till he fell right down on his seat. Yeah, that's what I wrote. My first song, yeah. So you can see there, you know, repetition and rhyme and the same rhyme all the way through and funny words, things that you laugh at when you're in first grade, like feet and seat. And a funny old man, you know, and all that fun stuff. So that's what I had written. And then in the next part of the song, we kind of get the context for that. You'd given us a few minutes and a blank sheet of lined paper. I had no idea what I was supposed to do. Maybe I wasn't listening. Maybe I was scared. But knowing me, it was probably just that song I had to write, my first song. I remember getting lots of lined paper in first grade, and I remember one thing that we did have to do was practice a singular letter and write it, fill a whole stinking sheet of paper with the letter K, fill the whole stinking sheet of paper with the letter G. And I understand that. I was fortunate enough to pretty much already have the writing thing down, thanks to my mom. And so there wasn't a whole lot that I needed on that. And writing K after K after K was just hideous to me. And so I had a pencil and I had paper, and why not just write a song instead, you know? The next section, I made language into music. I gave it a beat, gave it a rhyme, made it funny, made a story. Yeah, one that didn't exist outside of right there. What I did in my mind, I wrote my first song. I wrote my first song, yeah. On that paper you handed to me. Okay, so whatever it was that she wanted for me to do on that paper, it didn't really matter. I went beyond it. I wanted to do something more. I wanted to do something that would impact, not just, yeah, you did that, good, you accomplished that, you filled your paper with a bunch of K's or whatever it was I was supposed to. I wanted to write something that would make this lady and everybody else in the classroom, this lady especially, though, who was down and kind of angry and kind of sad, make her laugh. You know? Do something to connect with the other people. The next section. What I wanted to see was what you might think of it. Would you laugh? Would you smile? Would it brighten that darkness there behind your eyes? Would you sing it out loud? I had all these expectations about, oh, this is a great. She's going to love it. It's like those books we read, like the Dr. Seuss thing, except I did it. I came up with it myself. But your tired, angry eyes, well, they looked and read and were more tired. You could have just put it down. Too bad you couldn't just retire. No. You stole my poetry. You went and stole my literary device. You wrote no, no, no in big red letters across the top. Wrote no, no, no on my first song. You wrote no, no, no in big red letters across the top. Wrote no, no, no on my first song. On my first song. So, imagine this, this little first grader. I'm so proud of this little thing that I did. I came up with repeating a single word three times and making it rhyme all the way through. And that's a huge accomplishment for a budding first grade songwriter, you know. Street, 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 meet, 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 feet, 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 seat, seat, seat. And what I got back was no, no, no. Now, what this did is it taught me something about school. It taught me something about teachers. It taught me a lesson that would stay with me through most of my school years. It would even stay with me into teaching. I would carry that. And it would impact me in negative ways. It's a lesson about how much of yourself you show, how much of yourself you reveal, how much of the other person you trust. But that's not the dark side of the story. The story moves in a more positive way. Though I carried that with me, it also taught me a number of things that were positive. So I became a teacher with a guitar in his hands. I may sound corny, may sound unrigorous, but someone's got to take a stand for singing yes, yes, yes. You've got a song to sing, yes, yes, yes. I won't give up on you. Yes, yes, yes. We're going to let freedom ring. Yes, yes, yes. You are the best when you are you. Yes, yes, yes. You've got a song to sing. Yes, yes, yes. I won't give up on you. Yes, yes, yes. We're going to let freedom ring. Yes, yes, yes. You are the best when you are you. When you are you. You're the best when you are you. When you are you. I was only 6 or 7 years old. You must have been a worn-out 32. So I really wanted by the end of this song for it to be somewhat of a sing-along anthem. I had imagined when I wrote the song that it might be something I would use in my work. In working with teachers and communicating the importance of this story to me in learning, it really matters. It really matters. How we respond, whether it's a first grader or a 12th grader or a college student or another adult, it matters that we value their uniqueness, the thing that they're bringing that's uniquely them. Now, I recognize that, you know, there were probably some certain skills she needed me to demonstrate, and that's why she gave me the paper, and I don't know if she was unclear or what, but the bottom line is, she could have first acknowledged the uniqueness, the humanity, the little human being who just gave her a song. She could have acknowledged that and done something with that and then moved on to, you know, the process of writing the letter K or whatever it is she needed me to demonstrate. And that's the point, putting first things first. So this, a colleague of mine and I are working on a new presentation and a whole set, and maybe a book, and it will include songs This song is going to be part of that first presentation. It's called Being Human, and part of it is one of the things that we've lost in our educational system is being human first. So much talk over the last couple of decades about being data-driven, and I'm not against finding out student data and letting it inform our practice. But the bottom line is, if you approach a human being leading with their data, you are dehumanizing. Lead with being human. Lead with taking them as they present themselves, as a child, as a young person, as another human being. Lead with that. Accept that. And then find the place within relationship to move into dealing with whatever data we need to deal with if we're talking about an educational situation. And so that's really the focus of what we're doing. And it's much bigger than just this one song, but I think this song will play a role in that, especially in our initial presentation. So I want to talk just a little bit before we run out of time about the song itself and the album Refuge. I really set out to do something that fell solidly into the Americana genre, which in my mind is storytelling, is singer-songwriter stuff, but it flares quite often into country or bluegrass a little bit. A little bit of blues here and there, and so that's what that entire album was. This particular album, a story from a child who grew up in the Midwest, first grader in a small town in the Midwest, his experience as an early, very, very young songwriter, as someone who would become a teacher and an adult songwriter. And so it was a really good song to write in service to my goals on that album. The song, of course, is very acoustic. One other interesting thing for those of you who do recording, that was, you know, occasionally I'll set a goal for myself, a challenge, and a maybe a limit, you know, write a certain number of songs in a certain amount of time or something like that. Well, I set a particular limit on this. I had just gotten a new iPad with a number of tools on it for recording, and I decided I'm going to do an entire album, and all the recording I'm going to do will be via the iPad. And this album, 2017's Refuge, was entirely recorded on an iPad. Now, I did the mixing and the mastering and stuff on a Mac laptop, but all the recording, including the mic that I used, was all on an iPad. So that was a wonderful challenge. Now, did I get the absolute best sound possible? I don't know that I could say that, but I got good sound. I'm proud of that album. It sounds good. It feels good to me, and honestly, I think I have a lot to, you know, pay me something for that. But you know, that's neither here nor there. My first song, it was really nice to have a vehicle to actually publish that little first grader's song as well, in the midst of the story about that first song. So, well, thank you for joining me in this episode, kind of a personal episode for me. And you can find all my music and lyrics at scottsimpsonmusic.com. And we'll keep your eyes open. We may be doing this Being Human presentation in a town near you. And so, I'll maybe in a later podcast put out some information about that. There'll be a couple of songs, several songs actually probably involved in that project. As always, I want to remind you that we put out these Dance and Moon songcasts every Friday, and so we'll be together again next Friday. Be well.